All right, so for this deep dive, you listeners, you've really sent us something incredible. This lecture by Dr. Frederick, I mean, wow. The story of the Waldensians and their glorious return. Talk about dramatic twists and turns. I mean, you couldn't write this stuff.
You really couldn't.
We're talking 1685 to 1690, a community absolutely devastated, right? Forced into exile, and then somehow, against all odds, they fight their way back home
It's incredible.
and leading this seemingly impossible feat. I mean, this guy, Henri Arnauld, a minister who becomes their spiritual guide and a military leader.
Amazing. You know what immediately struck me when I was looking through Dr. Frederick's account was just how audacious this whole thing was. I mean, think about it, a people stripped of everything, like their homes, their livelihoods, even their freedom. And yet they just decide, nope, we're taking it back.
It's incredible, that level of
Just
criminal
phenomenal
high there.
resilience. And that's really what we want to try and understand in this deep dive, right? I mean, what were the key moments of this glorious return? How did they overcome these just insane challenges? And why is this period, still so powerful in their history?
Exactly. So to really get this glorious return, we got to rewind a bit, right? Go back to the mid-1680s in France under Louis XIV. Now, the lecture points to this event, the revocation of the Edict of Nantes in 1685, as just this major turning point.
Huge.
So what was the significance of this edict, and how did getting rid of it impact the Waldensians?
All right, so the Edict of Nantes, this goes back to 1598, and it had given certain freedoms and rights to the Huguenots. Now, these were French Protestants, a pretty significant minority in France at the time. But Louis XIV, he was all about a unified Catholic France. He saw this religious diversity as a threat, and revoking the edict in 1685 basically took away all those protections,
Good
leading
person.
to huge persecution of the Huguenots.
So basically, like, this is my land. I'm the king. Everybody's got to be Catholic.
He wanted everybody on the same page religiously. And this wasn't just contained within France either. It had a ripple effect.
And this is where the Waldensians get caught up in this.
Devastating consequences for them living just over there in the Alps.
And the lecture details how just a year later, in 1686,
Right.
Louis XIV's ambition kind of finds a partner in the Duke of Savoy.
Yep.
And this leads to this full-on military purge of those Waldensian valleys.
That's brutal.
So can you just walk us through how that happened and what the immediate impact was?
Okay, so this alliance between France and the Duke of Savoy, I mean, their goal was simple: wipe out Protestantism in that region. It resulted in this just brutal military operation led by this guy, Commander Nicolas Catinat, in May 1686. Now, the numbers that Dr. Frederick gives, I mean, they're just horrifying. You start with a Waldensian population of about 14,000. And now listen to this: 8,500 imprisoned, 1,600 killed in combat, 2,000 forced to convert to Catholicism,
Oh my goodness.
and you're left with this small group called the Invincibles who just managed to escape.
It's unbelievable. And you mentioned imprisonment. Those conditions, I mean, the lecture says that over 60% of those 8,500 prisoners
I know.
died within 8 months
8 months.
just from the conditions.
Hunger, thirst, disease. It was just awful.
It's hard to imagine just the suffering.
It really shows you the absolute just brutal reality of what they were facing. But even in this just terrible situation, there was a glimmer of hope, even though it was kind of a dark hope. The Invincibles, they managed to negotiate a treaty. They said, look, we'll leave our homeland. We'll go to Switzerland if you release the surviving prisoners.
It sounds like at least there's a
It
chance.
was a chance, but it was still a really awful situation because the journey to safety was dangerous in itself.
And this is where the lecture describes how over 3,000 of these prisoners, already weakened, sick, forced to make this just awful trek over the Alps in winter, heading towards Geneva.
And less than 2,300 of them survived that journey.
Oh my goodness.
So when you think about it, they started with 14,000 people, and within a year, it's down to about 3,381 Waldensians who made it to Geneva.
It's just unbelievable.
It's just staggering how many people they lost. But Dr. Frederick does point out that the Calvinist citizens of Geneva were very welcoming.
Oh, that's good.
They gave them refuge and support when they needed it most.
It's good to hear at least somebody was
It's a real bright spot in this dark period.
Helping them out.
For sure.
And it's amazing to me what the lecture says about how almost as soon as they get to Geneva, the Waldensian leaders start thinking about going back.
I know.
They don't give up.
Incredible.
That's amazing, right?
Resilience.
Within a month of getting to safety, they're already thinking about going back to their homeland.
Wow.
They started reaching out to different Protestant nations, trying to get support to reclaim what they had lost.
Wow.
And Dr. Frederick mentions that there were a couple of attempts to return in those first 2 years.
Oh, they didn't work, probably because of logistics and, you know, hostile forces still in the area.
Right. Still very dangerous.
But they never gave up on the idea of going home.
Which leads us to August 1689.
The glorious return.
The glorious return.
Yeah.
And this is where Henri Arnauld steps into the spotlight.
He does.
The lecture talks about him being both a spiritual leader and a military commander.
Quite the resume.
So what can you tell us about his role in making this return happen?
So Arnauld, he was essential to this whole thing. I mean, William of Orange actually commissioned him as a colonel.
Wow.
And he rallied the exiled Waldensians. He was so good at raising funds from England and other Protestant nations, which they needed to buy supplies for the journey.
Yeah.
The fact that he was both a pastor and a military leader probably gave the men a sense of unity and purpose.
Right, because he's not just a military leader.
He's one of them.
Yeah, a spiritual leader as well.
Exactly.
So they're really following him for those reasons.
Well, exactly.
And just the initial part of this return, I mean, it was huge. Oh, yeah. 900 men Waldensians and some Huguenot exiles gathered on the shores of Lake Geneva for this 130-mile trek across the Alps.
And you're talking about going over the Alps.
Yeah, that alone sounds incredibly difficult.
I mean, just imagine the physical challenge of that, especially for people who have been through what they had.
Right. And they're not in the best shape, probably.
No, not at all.
And right away, they face setbacks.
Right off the bat.
The lecture mentions over 200 men and their commanders captured and killed.
Before they even left the lakeside?
Before they even left.
Can you imagine just the hit to morale that must have been?
I mean, that's got to be devastating.
Devastating. But the rest of them, about 700 men, they kept going under Arnauld's leadership.
Wow.
Pushing on into the mountains, facing more and more resistance as they went.
Now, the lecture highlights this one clash at the Bridge of Salbertron.
Salbertron, yeah.
Can you tell us about that and why it was important?
So at Salbertron, Arnauld and his men run into this much larger French force.
Okay.
About 2,500 troops.
So they're outnumbered again.
Oh, yeah. Big time. But they fought like crazy and actually managed to inflict some serious casualties on the French.
Wow.
The French actually retreated.
Wow.
It was a huge boost to the Waldensians' morale, even though they lost some men, too.
Right.
It showed that they could win.
They meant business.
They were serious.
Yeah.
This was not a game to them.
And this march through the mountains, it just kept going.
It was relentless.
Dr. Frederick says that by the time they got back to the Waldensian valleys, just 11 days after leaving Geneva,
they were fast.
They're down to 600 men.
It was incredible. I mean, their speed and the element of surprise, they use that to stay ahead of the people chasing them.
Just keep moving.
Just keep moving, yeah.
Don't let them catch up.
Their quick movement through this difficult terrain often meant that the French didn't know where they were.
So they're using the terrain to their advantage.
Absolutely.
So they're not just randomly running. They're like, we're going to go this way because it's going to be harder for them to follow us.
Exactly.
And at this point, the 200 Huguenots who were with them decide to turn back.
To go back to their own lands,
which
unfortunately didn't work out too well for them. They were captured and either killed or forced into slavery on galley ships.
Oh, no.
Just a terrible fate.
It's awful. So Arnauld and his remaining men.
About 400 of them at this point.
400. They're back in their valleys, but obviously not safe yet.
No, they had 10,000 French troops under General Catinat on their tail.
Right.
So they needed a place to defend themselves, and that led them to Basilia in the Germanosca Valley.
So what made Basilia a good choice?
Well, John Avell, this Waldensian military guy who had been in exile, he saw that Basilia had natural defenses.
Okay.
And Dr. Frederick tells us that Arnauld and his men all agreed to fortify this area. It was a unanimous decision.
Wow. So they all realized this is the spot.
This is the spot.
We got to hunker down.
Exactly. They worked quickly to build up their defenses, and they even had to go out and forage for food and fight skirmishes with Catholic settlers in the area just to get supplies.
Wow. So they're not just building defenses. They're having to find food while they're doing this.
Absolutely. They were under constant pressure.
And then they're under attack by Catinat and his forces.
Yeah, for months.
The lecture describes the Waldensians holding out against these huge odds, using everything they had, guns, rocks, even using the terrain itself to their advantage.
They were fighting a guerrilla war.
Until winter finally came and the French had to withdraw.
It's amazing how resilient they were.
And during this time, they find a buried millstone.
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
What?
I mean, talk about a stroke of luck.
What was the significance of that?
Well, they could grind grain with it so they could make bread.
Oh, so it was a way to get food.
Wow.
And then, as if that wasn't enough, they were running low on food during the winter. And then in the spring of 1690, some warm winds blew through.
And they uncovered all this grain in the fields that hadn't been harvested.
Oh, wow.
It was like a miracle just when they needed it.
So they're literally being saved.
It's hard to see it any other way, right?
Okay, by the weather, by the circumstances.
Yeah.
But this break didn't last long.
No, in late April 1690, the French came back with even more men, 22,000 this time.
Wow.
Including reinforcements from the Duke of Savoy.
Oh, no.
It seemed like the end for the Waldensians.
Yeah. I mean, what are they going to do against 22,000?
Right. But the French launched this huge attack on April 30th, and the Waldensians actually managed to push them back.
Wow.
And then the French tried attacking from higher ground, but they were stopped by deep snow and they were just poorly coordinated.
So even the French are making mistakes.
Yeah, they took a lot of casualties while the Waldensians didn't lose anyone.
So it's like even though they're outnumbered, it's almost like they're better fighters at this point.
They were more determined, that's for sure.
They had to be.
Yeah, they were fighting for their lives.
They had something to fight for.
Exactly.
And the siege continued.
Yeah, the French kept bombarding them, forcing the remaining 347 Waldensians to retreat to their final position at Pandizucara, the Sugarloaf.
And this is where it seems like it's all over.
Yeah, May 14th, they're completely surrounded, outnumbered 50-1. And the French even brought wagons with gallows.
Oh, no. So they were going to...
They meant business.
Execute them.
Yeah, it was a dire situation. But that night, a thick fog rolled in.
Yeah.
And Captain Philippe Trinpoulat, he had this crazy idea.
Okay, what was it?
He said, let's escape through the most dangerous route, the one the least expect.
So basically, use the terrain again to their advantage.
Exactly.
Okay, so how did they pull it off?
It's an incredible story. They lit campfires to distract the French.
Okay.
And then they moved silently in the fog, hand to hand over these treacherous cliffs.
It's like something out of a movie.
It really is. And there's this crazy moment where one of the men drops a kettle.
Oh, man.
And a French sentry hears it, but luckily nothing comes of it.
Oh, my goodness.
And incredibly, they all escaped, except for a few who were too badly wounded.
Ah.
The next morning, the French woke up and their enemy was gone.
They had vanished.
Vanish.
And the French are just sitting there dumbfounded.
I can only imagine their faces.
It's just incredible.
The Waldensians had pulled off the impossible.
They were just smarter.
They were smarter, more determined, and they had the fog on their side.
Right. But even after this, the French kept chasing them.
They did. But then something amazing happened. The Duke of Savoy, who had been allied with Louis XIV, he switched sides.
He switched sides. What made him do that?
Well, he decided to join the Protestant nations against France.
Wow. So the guy who's trying to wipe them out is now on their side.
Yep. He offered them their freedom and asked them to join his army to fight the French.
Wow.
And the Waldensians, despite everything they had been through, they agreed.
They still had the energy to fight.
They did. And they helped drive the French out of the Duke's lands.
It's unbelievable.
We'll talk about a turnaround.
I mean, this whole story, I mean, the lecture just keeps highlighting how amazing it is that they survived.
It really is.
They lived through that awful winter on scraps of food.
Yeah.
They beat back attack after attack. And then that escape.
It defies logic.
And the escape to force 50 times their size.
It's mind-blowing.
And Dr. Frederick includes this quote from Henri Arnauld, where he basically says this could only have happened because of God.
He's basically saying it's a miracle.
Yeah, he points to the food that they found, the courage of his men, the weather that helped them.
I mean, the snowstorm during the French attacked the fog during their escape.
Yeah, it's like everything just lined up for them.
Exactly.
And then the fact that the French lost so many more men than the Waldensians.
That's another thing that makes you think there was something bigger going on.
Yeah, and Arnauld's final thoughts in the lecture really show how important their faith was to them.
Yeah, he saw everything that happened, their survival, their victories, even the Duke of Savoy switching sides as proof that God was on their side.
And he's probably thinking that God was testing their faith.
It's definitely possible.
This glorious return. It's just this amazing story of resilience, faith, and just brilliant strategy against impossible odds.
It really makes you think about what's possible when people are determined and have something to believe in.
I mean, think about it. You've got Arnauld and Poulat leading the way, the Waldensian people themselves, just refusing to give up.
Yeah.
And in these events that you just can't explain.
You know, after diving into Dr. Frederick's lecture, it leaves you with this really interesting question.
What's that?
How does this story change how you think about what's possible when people are faced with incredible challenges and they just refuse to give up hope?
It's a good question.
It really is. And it makes you want to learn more, not just about the Waldensians, but about other stories of resistance and people overcoming impossible odds.
It's really inspiring.
It really is.
So there you have it, listeners. Another deep dive complete.
Until next time.
Thanks for joining us.
Keep those questions coming.
And keep exploring.
Yeah, and keep being curious.
See you next time.
Bye, Dai.